Welcome to The Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
And now you are invited to participate in the glorious reading of our scripture, the gift of our life. It is taken from Matthew, the 6th chapter. You know, I've always had, as I said earlier, I've always had a problem with this scripture because I love clothes. I love to shop. I love all that kind of wonderfulness. But yet God is calling us into something different, to step out of this shell. So please join with me. It's really entitled, Do Not Worry. Do not worry. And Christ says, Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? I don't know about that one. I've got to worry a little bit. Do you all have to worry a little bit too? Got to do more trusting. And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Now they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows what you need in all these things. But first, and I want to emphasize this again, but first, strive for the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. It began with disgust. Looking at a kitchen table, it seated 8 people. It collected dust, laundry, and mail. It collected a bunch of stuff. The breaking limit came after a business trip. It had to go. The sight of it was heavy, a burden. The table was sold immediately. This is how it began. 6 months after selling the kitchen table, Ashley Sutterfield sold all of her furniture and half of her belongings. She had researched and toured over 50 tiny homes and knew it was the right decision. Despite the crazy looks and clear argument from friends that she was making 6 figures and could afford a larger home, Ashley made a clear path towards simple living. Oh yes, she could afford a big house, but she didn't want to. Ashley wanted freedom. She wanted to be able to retire early and live free from the burden of things. Ashley wanted to define her own American dream. She has now been living in the tiny house on wheels for 2 years now. It's 160 square feet. The process to get the tiny house to the States was very tough. But Ashley was able to see God's faithfulness every step of the way. Now, she admits that her biggest fear at this point in life is becoming bored. The time living in the tiny house has proven that the greatest adventure she could have ever had is putting her full trust in God and relying on His faithfulness. So, Ashley, I must ask you, girl, what were you thinking?
I was thinking of financial freedom. I had this crazy idea that I wanted to retire by my late 30s. And in order to do that, I needed to live a different lifestyle. I needed my cost of living to be lower. And so I saw the tiny house as a means to the end, that I could use the tiny house, the cost of living with that, to really live that lifestyle for financial freedom. I wanted to be able to endow scholarships, and I wanted to be able to give to the church and to help people when they needed it, just because. And in order to do that, it required a drastic change in my life. And that's how the tiny house journey began.
So now you have this tiny house. What is life like for you in this house? I mean, 160 square feet? Ashley, what does that look like?
Well, actually, I'll show you.
Okay.
So here on the stage, from the piano forward, that's about 8 feet. My house is an 8x20. So from here to this side of the stage, 20 feet. So this is in my entire house.
Wow.
And so you can see I can't fit a lot of things. There's not room for it. It's not going to fit, whether I want to own it or not. So it's really simplified my life. And something I didn't see coming from downsizing was more time. But the more I look at it now, the more I realize that by owning fewer things, I'm now not managing those things. And so I'm getting to live a life where I can connect with people. I get to live in relationships because I have time to give to people. I have time to sit with someone and go deeper than surface level. I'm able to sit with God on a daily basis and really just give Him my time. And that for me has been the biggest change with the tiny house living.
So let's just let me be clear. You were making six figures. With that type of money, Ashley, society tells us that we have to have the biggest house, the fanciest cars, the newest of the newest. And me speaking personally, I have 4 kids and a husband. And the pressures that society places on parents, mm-hmm, for wanting to give their children the best. How did you respond to those social economical pressures?
Mm. Well, I think when you mention kids, it kind of triggers my best memories as a child were the simple ones. It was the times that we went to the park and the library and the swimming pool, and it was time with my parents. It was not when we got something new. Like, I don't remember all of those times, but I remember the times that we spent together. And so society tells us that in order to be successful, that we have to look a certain way, that we have to live our lives a certain way. But I've realized I don't have to do that. Why am I saying I have to do that? Not that there's anything wrong with it. Not that there's anything wrong with a larger house. And I mean, you have 4 kids. There's a need for space. But if I'm living in a place of life where I'm striving for more things just to have more things, then I'm basing my self-worth in those things and not in who God says I am. And so it's in those moments that I really have to do a gut check and go back to, who am I in Christ? What is my identity actually about? And in all those small steps, you know, it was really, I saw this as a step to decluttering. Like everything was just to, began as a decluttering step. And but I see today that by removing things, I'm able to go deeper into my fears. I can, after the things are gone, all that's left is me and God, my relationship with him. And so if I remove those things, when it's just me, now I have to face myself. I have to face who I am and what it is that I'm doing with my life and what my priorities are. And so I see that just a shift with my relationship with God in order in not giving in to societal expectations.
Would you consider yourself a brave person?
Ooh. No. I have heard a lot over the last 2 years of, oh, it took so much courage to do this, right? And I disagreed. For years, I have disagreed with that. But I think now I realize it does take courage to take one small step. It wasn't until I took a step, and then 10 miles later, I've looked back and realized all of these small steps are connected. And so for any of us to move towards reprioritizing our relationship with God, that small step that you take is hugely courageous. It is everything to God. And like Ken said, God will continue to pull us further along, and he will begin to expose more of who he is because we are letting go of who we think we should be.
Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned that one of the reasons for you wanting to go tiny was your ability to increase your generosity. Can you please explain to us what you believe is the art of generosity?
Yeah, so in my tiny house journey, I've seen God's faithfulness, and that has been the underlying story throughout it all, is God's faithfulness and how real he is. And in the time of getting the tiny house, from the time I said, okay, this is the lifestyle I'm going to lead, and when I actually got the tiny house was a full year. And so I had already rented out my house here in Bentonville, but I was still waiting on the tiny house. And we really thought this would be like a 3-month, maybe 4-month process to get the tiny house here. It was actually a year. And so 12 months of, well, it was month to month of, I don't want to just sign a lease on an apartment because I don't know the house could be here next month. So I had a year of this lifestyle where I was living out of my truck, and I had friends, over 20 friends, take me into their homes and really show me generosity. They cared for me. One of the families who was so, gosh, such a godsend in that process, actually let me stay with them for many months. And they're a part of this congregation. And that is what drew me to this church. I didn't come to seek a church. I came because they showed me generosity that was so grand. I knew that the people at this church had to have a caring heart. And that is what drew me here. That's what pulled me into this congregation, was simply that I was seeking to meet people who cared about people that much. And I was fortunate in experiencing that generosity. But to them, to talk to them, that, oh, that's nothing, right? I would say that generosity is in the simplest of forms. It is caring for people and taking care of one another.
I know you and I talked, and I know you mentioned we you were staying with that couple that attends this church, not one time did they say, come to my church.
No.
It was the actions behind that drew you here. And I am so thankful that you're here to share your story of how you put God first. Now, if there's one thing that you would like for the congregation to take away, what would that be?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not to sell all your things and become a minimalist. That's absolutely not what is intended for everyone, and that's not what I'm saying today at all. I think, though, if I go back to the verse that Sarah read from Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom. What does that look like, to seek his kingdom first? It's a relationship. It is a personal relationship with God, and that is all he wants from me. That's really all I can give him. And so if that's what he wants from me, that if I go into that space where seeking him is all that I have to give, he overflows out of me in order to build relationships with other people then. And so it's not only about my relationship with God, it's about my relationship with the people around me. And those relationships are what create God's kingdom. It is God's community. And I go to Acts 4:32. All of the believers were one in heart and mind. No one's possessions were their own, but they shared everything. If we're truly caring for one another, that's what it looks like. And so I would say God is challenging us to take one small step towards caring for one another. He's asking us to shift our thinking just slightly, to begin looking at our lives in a new perspective. What is it that I can let go of that creates a freedom to be generous and caring for God's kingdom? So I think as we listen to God, he's always whispering. So what is it that he's whispering to each of us? What is the small step he's asking you to take?
Thank you so much. God bless you, my sister.
Oh. Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.